How are we doing, church? Great to see you today. Thank you for being here. My name is David. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors that serves on staff here. It's really great to have you here today at Fairhaven. I want to welcome all of our campuses. Thank you for being here. All of you that are here at the Centerville campus, it's nice to have you here today. I do want to welcome Springboro to the south and Beaver Creek to the east and Northmont to the north. Classics that's with us here and all of you that are online. It's really, really good to have you here today. Today is a special day for us at Fairhaven Church. We do this every year, actually, and so you might know this. Our fifth graders are moving to sixth grade, which means they join us in our worship services in all of our campuses. And we do this, in case you don't know, because we believe here at Fairhaven that at the sixth grade, you know enough and you're ready to hear about some things about God that really can help you to grow in your spiritual lives. And we believe that you're mature enough to handle it and to hear it. And we want you to join us because we believe that here, that even in the sixth grade, that you can help us to be the church that we need to be in all of our communities. Am I right, church? And so in all of our campuses, would you help me welcome by applause all of the new sixth graders that are joining us today? Thank you. Great to have you here with us today. Yeah, there you go. It was in middle school that I gave my life to Jesus. And so we believe that God can speak and will speak. And so we're so glad you're here as sixth graders. It's really, really good to have you here with us. 11 days from today, I don't know if you know this or not, but 11 days from today, the Soccer World Cup will be happening here in the United States of America. And if you're a guest with us here today, we love soccer here, or maybe I should say I love soccer here. And it's amazing. There's going to be, believe it or not, they say that there's going to be 5.8 billion people that will watch the World Cup. That's with a B. That means 73% of all human beings on planet Earth are going to be watching this game right here over the next couple of months. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Today, actually, the U.S. plays Senegal, one of our partners, actually, in Africa at 3:30. And so if you want to watch that and get ready, it's not an official game. It's what they call a friendly. But soccer is a really, really important sport for me, as you know. I mean, it's all over. I mean, Time Magazine here, the month of May is Captain America, Christian Pulisic, one of the American stars in soccer. So that's there. And then you got Sports Illustrated, the June copy of Sports Illustrated on the front. It says Lionel Messi. If you don't know who Lionel Messi is, you know nothing about soccer. Then I'm just going to tell you that right there. That's unbelievable. See, when you think of soccer, soccer is an important sport, obviously, for me. But soccer, when it comes to soccer, ball control matters more than tactics. Let me explain. The way you handle a ball, the way you touch the ball, the way that you work it on your feet, the way you juggle it, the way you use it, your shoulders and your head, is more important than actually knowing how to play the game. I would argue that if you don't know how to have a connection with the ball, you really don't know anything about soccer. You can watch it and you can experience it, but you just don't know much about it. You have to be connected with the soccer ball. You can't occasionally play with the ball and be a great soccer player. You can't just play with the ball when you feel like it and be a superstar or play soccer very, very well. You can't just decide like 5 minutes before a game, you know what, I think I'm going to juggle a ball and play with it a little bit and become a great soccer player. And the same is true with our relationship with Jesus. See, our connection with Jesus can't be occasional, because if it is, then you and I will not have the kind of relationship that God desires for us to have. In fact, the relationship that Jesus explains, we'll see that today in the Gospel of John. You can't have a relationship with Jesus where it's emotionally based, where, you know, when you feel like being connected with Jesus, then you are. That's not going to help you in your own spiritual journey. You can't be connected to Jesus on an emotional or an emergency-based relationship only, where when you need him, then you can get connected with him. The truth of the matter is, you need to know this, that God is there even if you connect with him occasionally. That God is there, Jesus is there available for you, even if you connect with him emotionally and saying, I don't really want to do it all the time, but right now I'm ready. He's there. Even on an emergency basis, when you cry out to God, it's amazing that he is there and present. But if you really want to have the spiritual life that we talk about here at Fairhaven Church a lot, it's going to take more than an occasional connection, more than an emotional connection, and more than just an emergency-based relationship. Would you agree, church? I want to take a look at that today because a relationship with Jesus is meant to be more than occasional. It's meant to be more than emotional. As I mentioned, it's made to be more than emergency only. It's meant to be daily. We've been in a series called Every Day. Anybody know? Matters. And we've been saying that every day in our lives as followers of Jesus matter, that you and I can make decisions today that will change our future. You can decide today in certain areas of your life, and it will literally change the way you see things that happen tomorrow. You don't know if you have a tomorrow. I don't know if you have a tomorrow. We do know we have a today, and so today matters, and we've been looking at that. The truth is, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, which we've been reading for really about 5 weeks now, 6 weeks, he says this, look carefully then how you walk, how you live your life. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. There's an enemy of your soul out there that wants to derail you. In fact, he wants you to connect with Jesus occasionally, emotionally, and only when there's an emergency. So Paul is saying here that make the best use of your time because the days are evil. And then he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If I were to ask you today, what is God's will for you? There might be a lot of things that you could say that would answer. In fact, the Bible has lots to say about God's will for you. There's very specific things that the Bible will tell us that is God's will. But I would tell you today in the discussion about a relationship and a connection with Jesus, Jesus says this. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. One of the things that he wants to do is to destroy a connection that you might have with Jesus in a relationship that is ongoing daily, if you will. And when he can destroy that, then you will have an occasional, emotionally based, and an emergency only relationship. Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 10, verse 10, but I have come, Jesus, in opposite of the enemy, I have come that you might have life. And let me try it on all of our campuses. Anybody know what's next? That you can have life, what is it, church? Abundantly. What does that mean for you to have an abundant life with Jesus? Can I offer right away three things that even if you're not a note taker, you may want to jot these down and think about them because it relates to what we're going to see and read on the very words of Jesus found in the Gospel of John in just a second here. See, when Jesus says that you and I can have an abundant life, this is what I think he means, that you and I can have strength in our life. We can have strength and power to live every day. Anybody need any strength in their life? Anybody need any power? You might be dealing with something in your life. You're like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know where to go with this. And you need power or strength. He offers that. That's why he says, I want to give you a life that's filled with abundance. Secondly, when Jesus says that I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, he's talking about the character of God in your life. Because here's what I know about you, because I know it about myself. That if you and I claim to be followers of Jesus, we want to live like Jesus. And the moment that we don't live like Jesus and we want to live like Jesus creates a huge problem. Am I right? And so what we want to do is to make sure that we understand that God wants an abundant life, which means that we enjoy the character of God or becoming more like God, Jesus, every single day. And the last one is really important, to understand the love of God. I could literally for an hour stand up here and just tell you that if you and I today would just in a whole new way would understand the Father's love, because some of us have hard fathers earthly and some of us have a hard time with that. But if we really understood what love looked like from a heavenly Father who loved us unconditionally, no matter what, and wants to change us from the inside out, that could change some things today. Love is part of the abundant life that I think we can learn here today, because every day matters with Jesus. And that's why I decided to end this series with this, because if you haven't been with us, we've been talking about the fact that every day matters with your time, every day matters in the world, every day matters with your relationships, every day matters with your workplace, every day matters because God has gifted you. We call them spiritual gifts. Every day matters, but it all hinges on a relationship with Jesus, where you and I are connected with Jesus daily, not occasionally, daily, not emotionally, daily, not emergency-based, daily. If you have a Bible, let's read what Jesus has to say about this. It's in the Gospel of John. in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 15, if you want to power up or turn with me there. In all of our campuses, we have Bibles. So sixth graders, if you don't have a Bible, we want you to take one today as you begin with us in all of our campuses. Put your name in it. It's yours free. We want you to have it. In fact, that's true for anybody that comes to any one of our campuses or even online. Let us know. We'll mail you a Bible. We want you to have a copy. That's why I don't put it on screen. I want you to have it in your hands and look at it, underline it, write through it so that you can see what God is speaking to you. John chapter 15, the first 11 verses, I want to read the whole thing. This is Jesus talking to his disciples 2,000 years ago, and it's still relevant for us today. And he's talking about the fact that Jesus wants a relationship with us, and the only way for our relationship with him to really work is if it's not occasional, if it's not just emergency-based, and if it's not just emotional. So here's what he says. He says, these are the words of Jesus here in John chapter 15. Let me read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, Jesus says. I am the vine and you are the branches. You may want to underline that in your Bible. That's a really key verse. You probably have heard that before. We're going to unpack that. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do, what do your Bibles say, church? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burn. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, or pray, if you will, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide or remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus says that if you and I stay connected with him, abide, remain connected to him, that you'll actually be motivated to do the very things that God wants you to do. That it isn't that you have to come up with the energy in your own life to do it, and it becomes just a to-do list or a list of things that you have to do. Rather, Jesus is saying here that if you abide in me, you're actually going to desire to do that. So connection with Jesus is really incredible, important for us. Jesus here uses one of the simplest and most powerful images in all of the Bible, a metaphor, a vine and branches. You don't have to be a gardener. You don't have to be a horticulturalist, an expert to understand that. I think we all understand a vine connected to a branch. And it says here, as Jesus is talking, when we talk about a vine and branches, that branches are completely dependent on the vine. So you and I need to recognize today that as Jesus is talking to his disciples, that you and I are dependent as branches to be connected to the vine. Because when we're connected, we're going to experience power in our life, we're going to have the character of God, and we're going to experience love in the ways that we need to. And so Jesus is saying here that branches are completely dependent on the vine. He's also saying here in these first 11 verses that disconnected branches don't struggle to live. They die. They wither off. Something happens to them that is not going to be where you and I want to be in our lives. And so in the same way, we were not created to occasionally connect with Jesus. It's something that needs to happen every day in our lives. And that's why Jesus mentions this, as he wants us to live in a connected way. Now, what Jesus is saying here in these 11 verses raises a question in our minds that you ask every day. I don't know if you know this or not, but you ask this question every day. If you're here today in any one of our campuses or online, and you are a follower of Jesus, this question is asked in your heart, in your mind, in some way, every single day. We don't often express it, but it's there. Can I give you the question? Here's the question that emerges out of these 11 verses. How do I grow spiritually? Because if you grow spiritually, you're going to understand the power and strength that God offers to you in your life. Chances are you might need that today. See, if you grow in your relationship with God, with Jesus more specifically, you're going to understand the character of God, and when you live it out, your life makes more sense. See, if you stay connected to Jesus and you grow spiritually, you're going to understand love, and then it's going to come out of you that you're going to love people around you differently. So countercultural to what we see in the world around us today. And Jesus gives us the answer to that. In fact, in these 11 verses, he answers that question for us, and that's really what I want to spend my time with you in looking at this, because you and I all need power and strength. We need the character of God, and we need to understand the love of God. And he tells us that right here. How do you grow spiritually? Here's the first thing that Jesus says to us. Pretty simple, pretty profound. Here's how. You stay connected to Jesus daily. That's probably not a surprise to most of you. I mean, again, if you look at verse 5, because I asked you to underline it, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The question is, how do you stay connected to Jesus? Turns out he actually tells us. Right there in verse 5, and if you look in verse 7, actually drop down two verses, he actually tells us how you and I can stay connected to Jesus. Let me read it again. He says, if you abide or stay connect with me and my words, that's number one, and you ask or pray whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Because when you're connected with me, you'll understand the things that I want for you, and you'll pray for those things in your life. That's what Jesus is saying here. So he's saying there's two things that will help you to stay connected to God, and here they are. Number one, God's word and prayer. God's word and prayer. God's word is one of the ways that you and I can stay connected to Jesus and prayer. But what Jesus is saying here, catch this, church, what Jesus is saying is that you and I need to resist everything in our lives that will pull us away from those two things. We have to guard ourselves because life will pull us away from God's word and prayer. Now, I think you know this, but God's word brings truth into our lives. God's word brings clarity into our lives. It brings perspective. God's word, when you read it and spend some time with him as you're connected to Jesus, God's word gives perspective to you about you, but it gives perspective to you about the people all around you, especially how to love them in a way that God wants you to love them, which is very different than we would normally love in our human lives. And so God's word is so important. Prayer, we would also agree that prayer is powerful. Would you agree, church? Prayer is also not only powerful, but it's purposeful, that when you and I spend time in God's word and we spend time in prayer, here's what happens. Healing comes in our brokenness. Peace comes in our suffering. Wow. Joy comes in our confusion. That you and I can find great confusion all around us and yet still be filled with joy because we're connected to his word and we're connected to him through prayer. Love in our loneliness, direction in our lostness, perspective in our blindness, character in our humanity. It's unbelievable. Jesus is saying to the disciples as he's walking with them, he's at the very end before he's going to get crucified, he's telling them, stay connected, because when you're connected, you're going to have power in your life, the character of God, and the love of God. Three things that will make your life filled with life, all the way to the fact of being abundant. He said there's a constant threat to spiritual power. Would you agree with that, church? There's a constant threat in your life and in my life against spiritual power. And Jesus wants us to make sure that we're aware of that. Because when we're disconnected from the Creator God, and when you and I are disconnected from the Savior of our souls, or let me say it another way, when we're disconnected from the lover of our soul, Jeremiah 31:3, that God is the lover of our souls, that when you and I are disconnected, all of a sudden we lose out on the very power and strength that we need in our life. Let me say it this way, and I think it's pretty clear. See, you can't be connected to God just on the weekend. You can't be connected to Jesus just as an add-on into your life. You can't be connected to Jesus as an emergency contact. You can't be connected to Jesus just on a Sunday routine. Jesus is the source of life itself. Right, church? It's the source of life for you and I. And that's why it's so important to spend time in God's Word. I think you know this, but if you don't, let me make sure it's clear, because I feel like we say it all the time. And we do that because we want to make sure that you really see that the importance of this. I want to see it in my life. I want to see it in your life. I want to see it in our church's life. And the fact that being connected to God's Word daily is so important. That's why we actually call it, well, we call it a daily. That on the app that we provided for you, that if you haven't downloaded the app, I really encourage you to do that. Because if you're like, I don't even know where to start, I would tell you, download the app, and right there on the app at the bottom, it says daily. And you click that, and you'll have a devotional filled with God's Word and a few thoughts from some of our staff that will just help you in staying connected in God's Word. It's a daily for your life. And prayer is so important as well, because prayer is the connection that you can have with Jesus himself. So Jesus starts off and he says, stay connected to me daily, daily. Second thing he says, if you drop down to verse 2, he says that if you want to grow in your spiritual life, we need to allow Jesus to prune the very thing that hinders our growth. You and I need to allow Jesus to prune that. Verse 2, it says, he pruned every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Now, verse 2 scares a lot of us, because a lot of us see pruning as punishment, that somehow God brings punishment into our lives in order to change us. That's just not true. I want you to see verse 2 here. I want you to see it not as a punishment, but a preparation. Jesus is warning us because of what he knows about us. It's not a punishment, it's a preparation. And here's why. Because Jesus wants to make sure that we don't grow in the wrong direction. Is that possible? Oh yeah. It's very possible for you and I to grow in the wrong direction. Horticulture tells us, I've been doing some research on this because I wanted to kind of figure it out for my own self, but horticulture is simply the science of cultivating plants. And many of you may love plants. My wife loves to plant things. And horticulture says it's an art, actually. And horticulture warns that if you love plants and you want to be part of that, it warns against what's called sucker branches. Sucker branches are fast-growing shoots that emerge from the vine or from the trunk. And these suckers don't kill the branch, they actually drain its resources. That's interesting. It actually puts stress on the branch, and it actually causes dysfunctional growth. What I found most interesting as I was researching some horticulture about this metaphor that Jesus uses here, they say that suckers are typically a survival mechanism for a branch, and it produces aggressive growth in the wrong direction, catch this, to save itself. That makes sense. No wonder Jesus used that analogy in our lives. See, Jesus wants to remove distraction. He wants to remove pride and unhealthy relationships. He wants to remove self-reliance. He wants to remove misplaced priorities. He wants to remove anger and the lack of forgiveness in our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to grow in the wrong direction, because it can happen in our lives. Jesus is saying, I will cut back the very thing in where you're growing in the wrong direction. I will do that for you. Here's what that takes. You ready? It takes surrender. That you and I need to surrender and say, you know what? I want to surrender to you this behavior. I want to surrender this attitude. I want to surrender something that I should be doing that I'm not doing, and I'm going to ask you to prune that in my life and help me with that. Surrender. Church, do you realize that today, because every day matters, that you and I could make a decision today to surrender something in our life with Jesus where we have a deep connection with him because he prunes out something that we know doesn't belong. We surrender. I want to encourage you to do that right now. In fact, even as I'm talking here, you could close your eyes and you could just say, God, I surrender this. I surrender this aspect of my life. I surrender this attitude, whatever it might be for you. Because Jesus here in these words in verses 1 through 11 are telling us that if you allow Jesus to prune, and when he does that, you will experience growth, spiritual growth in your life, which is so important for us. Let me ask a question. What is pulling you away from Jesus right now? I mean, the truth is we could come up with a whole list. I could spend another 30 minutes with you and come up with a whole list, but I'll just give you one because I think all of them sort of fall underneath this. Busyness. Can I get an amen, church? I mean, busyness is one of the things that pulls us away. And Jesus is saying, be careful because of the threat of busyness. It will pull you away from a connection that you can have with me. And as that connection happens, I'm going to cut away the very things that are growing in the wrong direction for you so you can have power and strength, the character of God, and the love of God. It's so important. Well, Jesus goes on. Look at verse 7. He says, if you want to grow spiritually, here's how you do that. You depend on Jesus's strength. He says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I want you to notice here, as we look at this one verse, if you're staring at it in your Bibles, it's really important for us to notice, Jesus is not saying that you can't do things on your own. That's the problem. We are very talented. You are very educated. You are all very smart in all of our campuses. It's amazing the people that God has brought into this community of faith. There is so much that we actually can do, and that's the problem. What Jesus is saying here is that you can't do anything on your own that will bring eternal value. You can't do anything on your own that will cause you to be able to be where you need to be in your spiritual life. You will actually be divided because you'll know what Jesus wants and you'll do what you want and you'll be divided and there's a war going on in your soul. You know what I'm talking about? I've had it. I'm sure you have as well. Where we have a conflict that's happening in our own souls. You see, Jesus is saying that you can't make sense of life on your own. We need him because of all the brokenness that we have and experience in our own life. What I find really interesting is that what Jesus is really putting his finger on here in our lives is what I want to call counterfeit fruit. You know what counterfeit fruit looks like, right? Let's make sure that we agree on this. Here's what counterfeit fruit looks like. When you and I are experts on the spiritual routines, when you and I have the lingo down, we can quote the verses. We know what it looks like to act like a follower of Jesus, but we know deep inside, nobody knows this, but we have no power. No power. And deep in our hearts, we know and we hide it because we don't want people to know. In fact, sometimes even our spouses, even the people that are closest to us, our kids, our grandkids, our close friends that we see every day, sixth graders, your classmates, may not even see it in your own lives. We find ourselves with no power. Here's what's even worse. Sometimes we serve, like we're serving, and yet we're like dead branches. Dead branches. And Jesus wants to warn us here because it's just that important to us. And so he says, depend on me. In fact, you might only need to hear this today. Depend on Jesus. That's, by the way, why we encourage baptism all the time, because baptism is something that we do in all of our campuses. If you're relatively new, we try to encourage people to get baptized every single month in all of our campuses, because you know what baptism is, right? Baptism is saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm making a public commitment that I'm going to depend on Jesus. Anybody want to make a decision today? Because every day matters, that you're going to depend on Jesus today. So that you can have power and strength, you can have the character of God, and you can have the very love of God in your own life. Jesus goes on, look at verse 8. If you want to grow spiritually, let's let Jesus produce his character in us. Now, what is that character? I mean, what is Jesus really saying here? Let's take a look at verse 8. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus is saying to his disciples, that's us here today, you know how the world's going to see you? They're going to see you based on how connected you are to me. that when you're connected to me, you're going to see the character of God in your life. You're going to live like God wants you to live, and that's going to produce that character. Have you ever heard the statement, let go and let God? That could not be further from any truth that you can find in the Bible. The Bible never says, just let go and God will do everything. In fact, Jesus even says that here. He's saying to us that you need to bear much fruit, that you and I have a part in creating the conditions in order for God to be able to bring to us the very character of God, that we have to pursue God's way of life over our own way. Did you hear that, church? Let me say it again. You and I have to pursue God's way of life over our own way of life. And that makes a whole lot of sense until life goes differently than we planned or desired. And then here's what happens. All of a sudden, we recognize that in that moment, we have to accept what God allows, even if we don't like it. We have to accept what God allows even if we don't understand it. We have to accept what God allows even if we don't like it. We have to accept what God allows even if we don't see the good in it. We have to accept what God allows if we don't like it. We have to accept what God allows if it doesn't make sense. We have to accept what God allows if we don't like it. We have to do and understand what God is doing even when it's not what I planned. We have to accept what God allows in our lives if we don't like it. Have I said that? It is so hard. What is it that God is trying to produce in my life and yours? It's one word. Now, scholars will say that it's a bunch of things, and it's true that it's probably offshoots of this, but if you really read the passage clearly, read all 11 verses, if you study these verses, and by the way, you study it for yourself, don't believe me, but when I study this, and I have read this, if you have a careful study of what Jesus says in these first 11 verses, here's what he's saying. Here's what God wants to produce in your life. Love. That when you understand the love of God in your life, it changes the way you see everything. It changes the way you love the people in your life. It changes the way you view everything because God's love changes everything. You know what the Bible says? That he loved us first. And therefore, when we understand that, it changes everything in our life, which is why Jesus goes on and says that if you want to grow spiritually, here's what you need to do. Number five, rest in the security of his love. Rest in that. That the love of God can change you from the inside out, that you'll see every aspect of your life. In fact, church, hang on, you'll even see the brokenness and the difficulties that we encounter all the time differently. And sometimes we just don't make sense of it, but we understand it in the love of God that somehow God is bringing good about all this. Verse 9, he says, abide in my love or remain in my love. I want you to notice that Jesus moves very quickly from verses 8 to verses 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now you abide in my love. See, to remain and abide in his love means that we'll never doubt that God is good. Can we agree, church? That if we're going to grow spiritually, that we just never doubt that God is good. Right, church? If we're going to grow spiritually, we need to know that we're always going to know that everything that he does is in his goodness, even if we can't sort it out in our lives. That we can rest in his kindness, that we have confidence that he will make all things good. Paul echoes that. You know that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Paul echoes that. You see, it's the love of God that redefines our relationships. I want to encourage you sometime today or sometime this week to read verses 12 through 17. I haven't read them for you. Verses 12 through 17, here's what we learn, that if you remain in God's love, if you actually think about it and rest in the security of God's love, Jesus redefines our relationship. He tells us in verses 12 through 17, this is what he says, you are now friends. We're not servants any longer. We're friends. That's amazing to be a friend of God, that you and I can be connected to him at that level, that he calls us friends. See, Jesus is saying that every day matters with him because it brings strength for the day. Jesus is saying that every day matters with him because it changes who we're becoming. As you surrender, as I surrender, as we allow him to prune, as we engage with him and say, show me what it is that I need to do differently because I don't want to grow in the wrong direction. Every day matters with him because it produces fruit that lasts. Church, would you allow me to be your pastor for a moment? Can I just say to you, don't settle for knowing Jesus occasionally. Don't settle for that. You know, when I started playing soccer many, many years ago, I would connect with the ball all the time. In fact, I spoke at youth conferences when Kathy and I, when we were young in ministry. I remember going to a huge student conference. They asked me to be the speaker. There was, 1,000 high school kids or something there. And I brought a soccer ball with me and I said, hey, how many of you think you can keep a soccer ball up in the air longer than me? Of course, these, kids raised their hands. So I said, okay. So I brought three of them up to the stage sitting right here. And I said, how many times do you think I can keep this ball up in the air? And they, came up with some number. And so I said, well, you try it first. And they didn't do it, of course. And so I kept the ball up in the air 100 times with my shoulder, with my knee, with my foot. And today I think I can do one, but that's about it. In fact, I was looking for a soccer ball and we don't even have a soccer ball. This is my neighbor's ball. Here's what I learned as I was thinking about this in my own life. I love the game of soccer, but I have become disconnected with the ball. Is it possible that we love God, but we become disconnected with Jesus? Because Jesus says that when you abide in him, you will experience power and strength that you don't have on your own. You will have the character of God. You'll be able to live that out, and life will make a whole lot more sense. And you will have the love of God, which changes you, your relationships with everybody around you. See, I love soccer, but I've lost connection with the ball. I don't even own one. That's amazing when you think about it. See, the question I want to end with today for you is this, as we have just a few moments here, and that's this. What would it mean for you to abide with Jesus today? What would that mean? Is there something pulling on you, threatening this connection that you have with Jesus? Because I don't doubt anybody here loves God. The problem's not that you don't love God. The problem is probably that we've become disconnected with Jesus. Would you bow with me and let's see if we can ask Jesus to connect with us today in this moment. Father, we thank you in all of our campuses, Lord, that we get to read your words, words that no doubt many of us have heard before. And yet, Lord, today I pray that somehow it would come off the page in a different way. Because all of us, Lord, we need the strength and power of God in our lives. Today, Lord, we need to know what the character of God looks like, that we can live out our faith every day in the world around us, that we would leave here with the love of God. Father, would that love change us? Would that love so gently point in things in our lives that need to be pruned and surrendered so that we might grow in the right direction? We thank you, God. Thank you that you do love us. Thank you for who Jesus is and all that he did. Lord, he went from talking about a vine and branches to giving his life. And as he offered his life, we can have freedom from all that is broken and the sin in our lives. And I pray, Lord, today that there might be some here in all of our campuses, Lord, who need to invite you into their lives, to have a connection that begins today. And so, Father, would you hear their prayer as they're sitting here or online with us? A prayer that would go simply, Jesus, I invite you into my life. I want to be connected to you. I want strength. I want you. And I want to know your love. We thank you for all of this, we pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.